There's new information today on the military strategy the United States may use if it goes to war with Iraq. According to an article in today's Washington Post, Pentagon planners envision extremely intense airstrikes and a nearly simultaneous ground assault. But unlike the Gulf War, which targeted Iraq's infrastructure, this plan would focus on the forces closest to Saddam Hussein. Washington Post reporter Tom Ricks interviewed several senior Pentagon officials who believed a focused attack could be over in a matter of weeks.
The Gulf War, in many ways, was an attack on a country. They went after the infrastructure. They dropped bridges. They knocked out the electricity grid. This, by contrast, would be an attack on a regime, on a government. One guy said to me, look, we don't want to take out the electricity grid because at dawn on the first day of the attack, we want Iraqis to turn on the radio and hear Radio Free Baghdad come up for the first time and start announcing, here are the Iraqi units that have defected to the American side.
So who's included and who are the targets?
Really, it's Saddam Hussein, the diehard loyalist around him. What they see is the pillars of the regime. And where that all comes together is in the town of Tikrit, which is Saddam Hussein's hometown about 100 miles north of Baghdad. The Tikritis are seen as the nexus between Saddam, the bodyguards that protect him, and also the security forces that control the weapons of mass destruction, chemical and biological weapons. If you can persuade Iraqis that it's the secret police, the security forces that keep them afraid of Saddam, that that organization is going to be shattered, then the belief of planners is that will enable military units to come over to the American side and also enable civilians on the street to say, yes, I actually do think Saddam's bad and I think it's good that we're getting rid of him. And by the way, there's some weapons of mass destruction hidden in the basement down the street, or there's a unit outside of town that wants to surrender to you.
Weapons of mass destruction are a somewhat uncertain factor here. How is the Pentagon planning to deal with the possibility that they might be used?
That is still a subject of intense debate and really an unknown because you haven't had inspections for several years. You don't know where Saddam has stuff hidden, and you don't really know what his intentions are, and you don't know whether his orders would be carried out. There are a number of ancillary questions attached to this. Does he have the means of delivery? Serious military people at the top of the U.S. military believe he does not have any operational SCUDs, that is to say, long-range ballistic missiles, that he might have a few shorter-range missiles, which are called frog missiles. Another worry is drone aircraft, like crop dusters that have been turned into robot aircraft, and those can be used to deliver weapons as well. So what you do, the U.S. military thinks, is go after that means of delivery, eliminate missiles and aircraft that could be used, and then try to isolate and quarantine the rest to be dealt with later after a victory.
Did you learn of any plans to deal with the accidental detonation or dispersal of chemical or biological agents?
I didn't. It's a huge worry. It's still being thought about. It's a whole other set of problems associated with chemical and biological weapons, not about the intentional use against you, but the unintentional detonation where somebody has simply, there's a barrel left somewhere, and an American tank comes through and sees an adversary and fires a shell and suddenly sets up a plume. So American forces are going to have to operate on the assumption that chemical and biological weapons are present on the battlefield, whether intentionally or unintentionally.
Are there people who aren't sure that this is the right move to make?
Yes, there are still people in the military who aren't sure. The biggest single worry they have about fighting is assembly, getting troops in place, because if Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, that's when he's probably most likely to use them, not when troops are coming across the battlefield safely inside their tanks, but when troops are getting off chartered 747s at the airport in Kuwait. The other big worry the military has is the aftermath. How long will U.S. forces have to stay there? And it tends to be longer than anybody ever predicts. These post-Cold War missions tend to be open-ended. We still have U.S. forces on the ground in Bosnia and Kosovo, and the talk is in Afghanistan. They'll be there for several years. There is, though, still an undercurrent of worry in the Pentagon, and it was really two issues that the generals had. One was the Vietnam generation of officers has been saying for 30 years, never again will we go to war without the informed consent of the American people. And they're very worried that the war talk in Washington was getting well ahead of where the American people were thinking, and they really do believe that you need to do that. The second worry they had was, hey, a lot of people think that the current policy against Iraq of aggressive containment has been working. And there's still a lot of people who think that, but you're hearing that less in the Pentagon, partly because they think this administration is determined that ultimately there will be some military action.
Thomas Ricks covers the military for The Washington Post. Thank you very much.
Thank you.